He called me and said that y'all got to excuse my voice. I may lose it today. I had to, for some reason, Carl's got up early to dry his hair, I think. He's probably going to lay it out on Maggie, but so I didn't get all my sleep. So I ended up having to take a pain pill this morning because they overworked me at the Divided Church sometimes. And so, but Carl's told me he wanted me to preach, so I wrote down a few things. We won't be here long. But we are going to preach the entire book of Jonah.
Oh, that
is a lot. Yeah, y'all know Jonah?
Yeah.
What do you know about Jonah?
He disobeyed God
because God wanted him to go to a place.
Wanted
that
to go to a place.
Really bad.
Alright, well, the first thing you said was that. Hold on a minute.
You gotta see what he said.
Nah, I'll get that call later. The first thing that heard was that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. That didn't happen. Jonah got swallowed by a fish. See, most people, when you ask them about Jonah, the first thing they do say is that Jonah got swallowed by a whale, but that's because we think that that's the only fish big enough to swallow Jonah. But in the biblical times, there were actually sea monsters. They felt that were actually big enough to swallow a man. And sure enough, God did call Jonah to go to a specific place, and he called him to go to where?
Nineveh.
Why did he call him to go to Nineveh?
Because Nineveh was a bad place.
Well, in the first chapter of Jonah, it says that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh because of their evil and wicked ways. Yes, sir?
He wanted Jonah to go preach to them because he wants them to know the way.
That's right. He wants them to know the way. He wants them to relent. Then, you know, as he called Jonah to go, Jonah didn't want to go. There were some things about Nineveh that, as we're going to read the scriptures in a minute, but there's some things about Nineveh that really why he didn't want him to go. Why Jonah didn't want to go. And those happened to be that this was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which, do you know anything about the Assyrian army? This is where they lived. Even Nahum said that all the people were wicked, that the corpses were piled up in the street. Can you imagine corpses in the middle of the street, so many that as you walk down the street, you just trip over them? You know, we don't want to have to go to the graveyard. I guess that's why we have graveyards, so they don't pile up in the street and we have to trip over them. But, you know, as we walk through the graveyard, the only thing we have to worry about tripping over is a tombstone, right? But in Nineveh, as you know, there was prostitutes, there were evil and wicked people, there were sorcerers, there were people actually there that would actually steal your money, if you can believe that or not. They would tell you, I can tell you the future, but yet they couldn't tell you what was going to happen. You know, have you ever called the psychic hotline? See, I always want to call the psychic hotline, and when they answer, they say, yes, and I say, tell me who I am. Because that's the first thing they ask you is what your name is. If they were really psychic, they ought to automatically know who you are. They ought to automatically know what you want. But I also say about psychics, if I was actually psychic, I'd never work a day of my life. Because I'd win every single lottery. I would know the numbers before they even come up. I hope that hopefully you don't go to sleep this morning. I told Carlos and then this morning, this was going to be different. I usually preach to a bunch of people and they go to sleep during the sermon. But this morning you're already asleep. I see your eyes. You're kind of sleeping. I'm going to bring that point out here in a minute about sleeping. But the Assyrian army, they did a lot of evil and wicked things. They were cruel, but they were effective. Because see, most of the time when they come into a village, the first thing they did was they burnt the children. They would impale people on stakes. They would rape the women. But you know, for us guys, it would be a worse thing because a lot of times what they would do is they would take the guys out into the desert and bury them up to their necks in sand. And then they'd pull out their tongue and drive a stake through it. And they'd leave them there to die of thirst. But you know, there were some other things that happened. You know, how many of you ever been to the desert? You know what lives in the desert?
Snakes.
Scorpions. So what do you think that open mouth gave them? Gave them a refuge from the heat. Gave them a place to hide.
If somebody rips out your tongue, that's a way of dying too.
Yes, it is. It's also a way of having people be quiet.
My dead leg.
Let me see your tongue. Got him, didn't I?
No,
but
didn't.
But these Assyrian army, you know, they were just wicked, you know, and undoubtedly, you know, Jonah, being an Israelite, had probably seen some of this wicked stuff, but he didn't want to go. He hated them, I guess you could say, you know. He didn't want to go because of some fact he knew of their evilness, he knew of their wickedness, and so when God called him, he says, I'm not going. So where'd he go? He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarsus. In the fourth verse of that fourth chapter, it talks about a storm. Now, for each one of us, at one time or another, we've experienced a storm, a physical storm. How many of you remember Katrina? Yeah, August the 23rd of 2005. I remember that day. I had just started college. And I was like, man, did it get cold in? Well, y'all didn't like that, did you? Y'all didn't wish for your school to be taken away, did you? Okay. You did, maybe a little bit. Anyway, but, you know, as we lost electricity where I live, and I was able to hook the generator up to the TV, you know, I found myself kind of awestruck at the destruction that the storm left behind. You know, and then when I went down to New Orleans, to Gulfport to work, you know, I found some of the streets that I had traveled down as a truck driver not there anymore. You know, it was just, couldn't even recognize it. So storms sometimes are physical, but sometimes storms are spiritual. As we look at the storms that are spiritual, you know, the physical storms, we can always find something to help us out in the storm. FEMA, the Red Cross, they, if you look on their website or things like that, they can tell you how things that you need, clothing, food, water, medical essentials to live for a few days. But with a spiritual storm, you don't have all of those things that help you prepare. There's a lighter note in verse 4 where it talks about the storm that arose. They say they found themselves in a predicament as they set sail. And as they started to sail, there was one person who wasn't on the top of the ship, and that was Jonah. See, Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had found him a place to lay down and go to sleep. Now, if you'll look at that word in the text, as you transpose it or you look for its true meaning, you find it means stupefied. It means to be in a deep sleep. Now, y'all know what a deep sleep is, right? You know, it's one of those sleeps where you wake up in the morning and you find out you drooled all over your pillow.
Oh,
or you go to sleep at the school and everybody kind of wakes you up and you got slobber running down your desk. Right? That's a deep sleep. Now, as I look at some of you this morning, I can probably say that some of you may be in a deep spiritual sleep. It's dangerous. You might wake up, but it may be on the other side of this world. And the bad thing about being in that deep sleep is when you wake up, you find that those things that you didn't correct in this side of life, you can't correct in the other. See, as God called Jonah, he knew what he was willing to sacrifice, but just like us, he knows what we won't sacrifice. Spiritual storms that come into our life come through some of our friends, some of our neighbors. Some of the things that we allow in our life that when we become Christians, we still don't get rid of. I know when I become a Christian, there were some things that I still had to deal with. As Brother Mark can probably attest to it. You know, when I become a Christian, before that I was a drinker. Before that I did drugs. Before that I smoked cigarettes. Before that I cussed like a sailor and made him blush. But when God came into my life, those things had a tendency to work themselves out.
Amen.
But I still had those spiritual storms. I still, on the hot days, would walk into a convenience store to buy a soft drink and had to walk by the beer cooler. And you could hear Budweiser calling out, drink me, drink me, drink me. Walk up to the counter to pay for my soft drink, and there was a Marlboro cigarettes. Now, for a long time, I still dealt with the cigarette issue. For a long time, I didn't buy cigarettes because I had too many friends who smoked. So I always let them buy my cigarettes. But see, the problem was I caused them a spiritual storm too, because it cost them something. It cost them of their own money and their own time. But you know, when we get back to the friend issue, You know, when you become a Christian, you had all those great friends. And for some of you, you probably still have some of them, but when I become a Christian, all of my best friends had a tendency to find them somewhere else. You know, I'd call them, want to get together with them, but they never would have the time. They never wanted to talk. They never wanted to return my phone calls. It was always something more that they had to do. But, you know, when I said a while ago was that God knows what you won't give up. Are you willing to give up friends that won't accept Christ? Are you willing to give up those friends that won't accept you for being the Christian you are? Now, some of you in here are at the age of dating. You know, as you become, as you get to that age of dating, there has to be, well, let me ask you this much. Have you ever on the schoolyard drawn a line in the sand and dared somebody to cross that line? You know, I remember being a bully in school. When I played football, you know, I worked out all the time. And there was one kid that just annoyed me all the time. I mean, he's just one of those geeks. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like Will. You know, no matter what the kid done, he just got on your nerves all the time. Well, one day he approached me, you know, and he says, I'm tired of it. I said, okay, cross that line. Only to find myself drawing another line. Finally backing off. But you know, as a Christian, those spiritual things of drawing the lines in the sand as you get to the age of dating, you have to draw those lines because, girls, there's going to be guys that's going to ask you to do things that are going to make you give up your moral Christian principles. And there's going to be girls that's going to ask you guys to do the same things. You know, I get amazed at looking at some of your Facebooks. And some of the stuff that you put on your Facebook. I got two girls in my church. Woo! One night I got on Facebook. Matter of fact, I was with Brother LaDon. We had went to the hospital in Jackson. We had a family that just had a preemie. And we went to the hospital in Jackson. And, you know, if you've ever been off with Brother LaDon, you got to eat somewhere.
Amen.
I love going with the preacher anyway because he pays. That's smart. She's in your head. We're sitting in McAllister's, and I like McAllister's. I got my iPod out, you know, I got online. There's two of my girls. They're arguing back and forth. And one's saying hateful this, and one of them saying hateful that. So I just got on my cell phone, and I texted them and said, don't put that junk on Facebook. And their comment was, how do you know what's on Facebook? I'm nosy. I see what y'all put on in Facebook. And I find it so amazing that you're willing to argue and fight and fuss over a boy. But when I put something on Facebook like, do we have two minds? Do we have a carnal mind and a mind of Christ? Y'all never respond to that. I find that when I put something on my own Facebook about Easter, about the sunrise service, or something about how God has come into our life and given us something great, you never respond to those Facebook things. But I do get amazed at some of the stuff that you put on there like, I'm bored. I'm going to bed. I never see on there, I just read Psalms 52. Or I just read the book of Psalms. I never see on there that I read in Revelation. I had a girl call me one night. Now I'm going to get on this a little bit later this afternoon. But one girl called me one night. She texted me one night. She said, the bulls in Exodus, were those like large pimples? Well, I texted her back and said they were like pimples with steroids. You know, because they were all over your body, hurt real bad. Then she texted me back and she told me, she said, well, I didn't understand it because my little brother come in and asked me about it. She said, but I was reading in Genesis and I didn't understand Genesis. So I went to Matthew and I didn't understand Matthew. So I went to Revelations and I didn't understand Revelation. You know what the problem is? The book is not written that way. It's written in the beginning and the end. It's put together concisely that you can follow. But sometimes when we read the Bible, it's because we only find that we've got to find some word of inspiration because we found ourselves at the lowest part of our life. We find that the only time we pick up our Bible is when we feel distant from God. Sometimes the physical storms of cancer, or physical storms of death, or physical storm of a loved one is the only time we turn to our spiritual enlightenment.
Sometimes it's the only time that we turn to our spiritual word from God that helps us to get over that physical storm. Now, not only will those physical storms come into your life, but as well, there will be some things that's going to be costly. It's going to be costly to you. It's going to be costly to others. It's going to cost you something. I find it interesting that when Jonah went to Joppa, he was willing to pay the price to get on that ship at Tarsus, to go to Tarsus. But I find that if you get down to the 12th verse of the first chapter, you find he's willing to get off. He's willing to suffer the sting of death. Now the sailors that were on this ship, these were Phoenician ships from Tarsus, and they carried tin and silver and gold. They carried the wealth of the world. But what did the sailors do when the storm come up? First, they call out to their gods. See, sometimes you're running from God. You're not listening to God. You're not praying to God. Will start to cost other people things too. You know, have you ever got up on Sunday morning and said, "I don't want to go to church"? Now, you can be honest. I'm not going to hold it against you. I do. I get up some Sunday mornings and I tell Miss Lane, I said, I just don't want to go today. I just don't feel like going today. You know, because as a preacher, it's church every day of the week. Whether you believe it or not. Y'all think just because you don't see us at the church doesn't mean that we're not doing church business. I mean, I've gotten phone calls at 6 o'clock in the afternoon and go to Jackson and be there till 11:30 at night. Only to get up the next morning at 7 o'clock and have to be 60 miles in the other direction. Now, thank goodness I do have a senior pastor that does most of it. But I do pick up a lot of this slack. But how many of you ever got up on Sunday morning and said, "I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church today. God, I just..." Well, wait a minute. You didn't call on God because you already thought about not going to church. But then later on that afternoon, you get a phone call because you forgot that you invited someone to church. And they want to know why you weren't in church. Are you sick? Or what's happened with you? And what's the first thing you have to do? Well, here comes another spiritual storm that's going to cost you something because you've got to think of a lie quick. Oh, I just couldn't get up. So it's become costly. It started to not only cost you, but it's costing them. Just like these sailors, it cost them all of their wealth to throw this cargo overboard in order to save Jonah's life. So here Jonah is, he's in the water. He's starting to sink. He's starting to realize that his life is going to be over. And along comes a large fish. He swallows him. Now the second chapter, Jonah starts out with, he's in the belly of Sheol. Now, Sheol means grave. See, Jonah thought he was at his death. This was it for him. See, Jonah's running from God was going to take him to higher places, but now it's going to take him to the lowest depths of the sea. Because see, if you know anything about a large fish, it can only stay at the surface for so long, then it dives to the deepest parts. And then on its way back up is when it catches everything it's going to eat. Then it goes back and does the same process again. So when Jonah, you know, I find it, as you read it, after he's been in the belly for 3 days and three nights, then he starts to pray. I wonder if he frantically went around looking, you know. Now, when I say Jonah, I can't help it. I got this vision in my head. VeggieTales. Y'all ever watch VeggieTales?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all remember the pickle?
Yeah.
He's Jonah?
No, he's the
seven.
Oh, the seven, that's right.
They threw him over.
But I got that. I get that image of VeggieTales, and I can't get it out of my head.
They threw him out on a little rubber ducky.
Oh, okay, so I guess you get to watching stuff too much, and I get a little bit confused, but that's the picture I have, is VeggieTales. But, you know, he finds himself in there for 3 days, and he starts to pray to God. He wants deliverance from God. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth shall he also reap." Every one of you have a cell phone. Well, most people do. Some people are blessed not to have Some of y'all, I get your text messages that you meant to send to someone else. You know what the bad thing about that is? I look at the words that you put on there, even though they're abbreviated. Sad, 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 Brother Mark. When the language is supposed to come out of a Christian's mouth, it's four-letter words and has nothing to do with love. That's sad. But I like getting those text messages because then I text back and say, guess what, Brother Kennedy's got it. You know, do you have conversations with those boys and girls that are inappropriate that you wouldn't want your parents to see? Do you treat your significant other, is the way I'll put it, like you're sitting on the front porch in a swing and you're afraid grandma's going to come out there and catch you? Because if you've ever had a grandma like I've had, boy, your ears burn, your tail hurts too. You know, I wish Scott was here because Scott would talk about how his daddy's belt would come off. And somebody was telling me one time their daddy would pull the belt off, sound like the wind taking off. But how many of you have those conversations with your boyfriends and girlfriends or just your friends that you wouldn't want your grandmother to see? You know, I broke my grandmother's heart. Because one day I had to sit and tell my grandmother the things I went through. Now, I didn't tell her everything. My grandmother went through the grave not knowing everything. But I'm afraid if she knew everything, there wouldn't be enough Kleenex to wipe the tears out of her eyes. Now, I respected my grandmother. I thought the sun rose and set because grandma said it could. But my grandma served God. When I accepted Christ into my life, I'll never forget walking in my grandmother's house and her crying because of the change that God had made in my life. So think about it before you send those texts. Think about it before you get on Facebook. Think about it before you get on MySpace. Think about it before you even send those emails. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything that you send is never private. Do you realize if you're on Facebook, what you put out there is out there forever? You can't erase it. You can't take it off. I find articles sometimes just by researching my name when I was in school, in elementary school, that somebody finally, and they didn't have computers back then, don't get me wrong. The art and all did not bring over the refrigerator. And the Mayflyer did not bring over the computer. But we did have things of communication. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about their cell phone, and I said, well, I remember when I was a kid, the only way we contacted each other was by house phone, and sometimes we didn't even have that. But be careful what you put on the MySpace and the Facebooks and stuff, because I can research stuff that you'd be surprised what comes up. And sometimes it's going to cost you things. Sometimes it costs you more than you think. We like to think that our sins are private matter, but just like the actions that Jonah took, it became public. It became knowledgeable. Everybody was going to know it. But also, your sins can be seen by Christians and non-Christians alike. And I find it amazing that when someone comes to us as a Christian and says, pray for us, we always have those quick answers. It'll be all right. Just trust God. When really all they want us to do is pray with them. You know, I go to the school, I spend a lot of time in high school, and I never see anybody stopping someone in a hall and saying, Cody, I just want to pray with you because I know you're having a bad day. They never look over at Will and say, Will, I know what you've been doing this week. I just need to talk to you about it. Do you ever sit at the same lunch table? That's the thing that I find amazing. You know, with all the kids that we have at Divide, I've got one group over here, I've got one group over here, and I've got one group over here, and everybody wants me to sit at the same table. Now, there's only one way to do that. Is if everybody would sit at the same table. I can't sit in three places at one time. So then after lunch is over, someone goes, you didn't ever sit with me, Brother Kenny. Well, I can't sit with you because you're not at the same table. But then when we sit at a table, it's never a discussion about God. Because y'all won't ever bring the questions up. Now, every once in a while you do, but
Never.
You know, like I said a while ago, sometimes we invite people to church. And as they sit in the pew next to us, they see your growth. Because when someone asks you to pray, you stumble over your words. See, prayer is something that can't be taught. Prayer is something that's practiced. Prayer is something that's tuned, honed, so to say, as a mechanic would use. Of bringing to the point of being able to pray openly, pray publicly. Sure, you can get in deep thought sometimes in your prayer and it seems like you can't find those exact words. But God's not looking for all the exact words. He's looking for you to pray to Him. He's looking for you to trust Him. As we get into the fourth chapter of Jonah, chapter 1, Jonah runs. Chapter 2, he's in the belly of the fish. Chapter 3, I don't want to skip it, but chapter 3, he finally makes it to Nineveh. And I have a vivid picture of when he walks into town because it never says that Jonah took a bath. It never says that Jonah cleaned himself up, wiped himself off, changed his clothes, and went on into town. He went in. He did it so quickly that if you look, it says it's 3 days across Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, I didn't tell you about the walls of Nineveh. They were 8 miles long. They were 100 feet high and a mile and a half wide. Had 15 gates. Each one of them guarded by a stone statue of a bull. It was 3 days' journey across there walking. And that's because he had to preach to every single person. See, it was like our present-day New York City, if you can get that into your picture. You know, it's surrounded by water. But it had little small cities everywhere you look. But he was able to complete that journey. And as he completed that journey, they repented. A great revival broke out. Now, I don't know about you, but if Brother LaDon got into the pulpit on Sunday morning and had seaweed hanging all over him, and I could smell him on the back pew, I'd have a problem following the message. That's not what happened with Jonah. Jonah was so fervent. Jonah was so precise that the people repented. They relented. So what does the fourth chapter say? It says that Jonah became angry, even unto death. Matter of fact, he became so angry he went out on the east side of the city and made himself a shelter. And God prepared a plant. And it come up over Jonah to give him shade. And God prepared a worm to destroy the plant in the same day. See, Jonah was fit to be tied. He was angry. He was mad. See, Jonah still believed in the God that he believed in, but at the same time, he believed in the Ninevites. He believed in their past. He believed that they would repent, go back to what they were doing. They would relent from that changed life. You know, when we become Christians, God cleanses us. God takes away those things, but it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that you have some things to work out. And then you find that not too long, that if you don't stay in it, the Word, you slip back. In the very end of it, God tells Jonah, basically, I am in control. Now that's four chapters of Jonah. That's all that's there. It's one of the shortest books in the Bible. But it's also one of the books that relates to us more than we ever know. And this afternoon we're going to finish my thoughts on it, and it's going to be about faith. What faith do you have? What you put your faith in? And where do you find Jesus? So Jonah took a hold of the plow, and he went to work. But then he found himself sulking in the shade, mad as all get out, because of what God had done. But you know, sometimes that's the way we are as Christians. We get mad at God changing somebody else's life because of the fact that they go on and leave us behind, Ms. Andy. We don't like it because they get a little more God than what we get. But the bad thing about it is it's left up to you what kind of God you get. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. Father, I thank You for these children and adults that are here, Father, and these young teenagers. Father, I pray that they're not like a Jonah. Father, I pray that they don't feel like they're better than anybody else, Father, but that they feel like you are the God that you are. Father, I don't know who here may be having a problem today. I don't know what kind of problem they may be going through. Maybe they're letting peer pressure get to them. Maybe they're letting people influence them in ways that they don't need to be influenced. Father, I just pray that you'll touch their lives. You'll cleanse them from those things that they need to be cleansed of. And Father, you'll touch them in a way that they've never been touched before. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So to conclude it, your phone's ringing. It's up to you. Do you answer the call, or do you simply just lay it aside and forget it? But the bad thing about it is you may only get that call once.
But the question is, who is on the phone? Who is calling?
You never know.
Maybe the best person in the world.
It could be somebody you need to talk to as well. The worst phone call I ever got that I still feel bad today about was a guy called me one night, and we talked on the phone for 45 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, he says, "Is this John?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, I dialed the wrong number." And I never witnessed it. It could have been someone who was really desperately seeking and searching out, and God had him dial my number for a reason. Because as Brother Mark was talking last night, or maybe this morning, God knows the hairs on your head. And Brother Wayne was talking a while ago, God knows what's going to happen in your life before it happens. And I just can't take it.